Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. News of the world and women's soccer, what most people were buzzing about over the weekend. But in certain circles, the biggest story by far was that Elizabeth Warren is no longer in the running for the newly formed Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, an oversight agency that Warren herself developed. President Obama tapped Warren to set up the group last fall, but her nomination to formally lead the agency would have faced stiff opposition from Republicans. Instead, Obama has turned to former Ohio Attorney General Richard Cordray. Warren has given her blessing to the Cordray nomination, but many on the left who see Warren as a true champion of consumers willing to stand up to big banks are dismayed to see the Obama administration abandon its support for her. Carter Doherty is reporter for Bloomberg News. Based in Washington, D.C., he's been covering the Warren nomination saga. Carter, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
So recap for us briefly why Elizabeth Warren is so popular among progressives. What's been her vision for the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau?
Well, her appointment to set up the Bureau back in September was generally viewed as the one unadulterated victory for the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. They like her because she's articulate, they like her because she is pushy, aggressive, and they like her because she connects well with ordinary people. She has a folksy sort of touch to her. She's a Harvard professor, but she's born in Oklahoma, married, if memory serves, at age 19. And so she's had an interesting life story. She's got a lot to tell, and she's an impressive character all around.
Is it also that she seems to be filling a void in the Obama administration, that the administration seems sort of to be constantly engaged in this discussion with itself about how aggressive they should be against banks, the president, you know, whether he should be talking about fat cats or whether he should be talking about, you know, sort of fostering the finance industry because of what it does for the U.S. economy? Is part of her appeal that she just seems so clear on that when the administration perhaps has sent mixed signals in other areas?
That's probably a fair interpretation.
Now, listeners, we know you have ideas about consumer protection, and we know you've been following the story of Elizabeth Warren. So if you have any questions about the agency for Carter Doherty of Bloomberg, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, the agency is officially set to open on Thursday. Is there any sense of what's first on the agenda? Are they going to be actually investigating a whole range of issues?
Well, Warren has steered it pretty firmly toward two central priorities. One is simplifying all the paperwork surrounding your mortgage, what you need to sign, what you get up front so you can do a little comparison shopping. And then not far behind that is a similar initiative dealing with credit cards. Now, you should know that parallel to this, the agency starts its work, and it has responsibility immediately for enforcing all of the various laws that are currently on the books on consumer protection. The Truth in Lending Act is a good example of that, concerning the various rules on what you have to do if you want to lend people money. Now, there's a separate set of authorities that don't really kick in until the Consumer Bureau has a confirmed director. So we will simply have to wait and see how this unfolds with the nomination of Richard Cordray, but that will determine in some sense how aggressive the agency can be going forward.
And to what extent will this agency make a difference in individual consumers' lives? Are they going to be looking at broad-based policies, or are they going to be able to help you if you have a problem with your bank charging you an undisclosed fee?
Well, this is the $64,000 question, so to speak, of exactly how effective it can be in changing the daily lives of Americans as it relates to finance. It might be worth thinking back to some of the antecedents in American history. You know, you think of the establishment of the modern Food and Drug Administration in the 20s and the 30s. Before that, it was entirely possible that you would buy something off a store shelf that had been cooked up in somebody's bathtub and called a remedy, and the FDA was there to change that. to make it so that the market was full of products that actually did what the label said that they would. And that process took a lot of time. There's no question about it. So I think it will be interesting to see whether the Consumer Bureau can move as quickly. The Dodd-Frank law that created the Bureau does require them to put together a consumer complaint hotline, and that is going to go live on Thursday. They're going to focus initially on credit cards and expand eventually to other financial products. But I suspect if you got them in a corner and got an honest opinion about how quickly they can make a difference, they would say it's going to take some time, but that some combination of regulation, of new regulations, of enforcement of existing rules, and of this sort of consumer complaint, working out problems, could make a difference, in a reasonable period of time, certainly not overnight.
And we actually have a caller on this issue, John from Allendale, New Jersey. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, I've been a law enforcement agent for 25 years. I do financial fraud investigations primarily. And is there any law enforcement aspect, or is this simply a regulatory body that's not going to be staffed as well as most regulatory bodies?
This is absolutely a law enforcement issue. The man that Obama is going to nominate today to run the place, named Richard Cordray, was the Attorney General of Ohio. And he is very much a guy who believes that existing laws can be used and that could have been used better to avoid the financial crisis. You would know more than I about exactly how you go about investigating a financial fraud. Yes, without a doubt, this is a law enforcement issue.
Well, no, I know it's a law enforcement issue. What I wanted to know is within this federal government agency, will there be 1811 law enforcement agents, or would they simply be making referrals to federal law enforcement agencies?
It will probably be a mixture of the two. It depends on exactly the law that's being enforced. There are some laws that it shares enforcement with, for example, the Federal Trade Commission. There's laws that even the Defense Department, some of the laws protecting service members, it could easily pass on information of use to the Defense Department or conceivably the Justice Department, I believe.
All right. Thank you for your call, John. Now, I'm wondering if you've spoken or you've heard from Elizabeth Warren. I mean, this must be truly hard because this was her baby. And, now she's sort of giving it up for adoption, if you will.
Well, Elizabeth Warren is nothing if not a political enough creature to know which way the wind is blowing. And if you look at her public statements right now, she's been entirely supportive. In the end, this is a choice of someone that she handpicked. She brought Richard Cordray initially to the Consumer Bureau to handle its enforcement issues, and now he's being nominated to actually run the place. So on some level, he is a protege of Elizabeth Warren, although one with very much of his own track record. So she's a realist, and she is coming out very strongly in support of him. We as journalists can never quite get inside people's head, but I think she's realistic enough not to be bitter about it.
All right, and let's take another call. Sharon from Oakhurst, New Jersey. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hello. I was just curious how you would how you would compare the new man that's going to be in charge instead of Elizabeth Warren, how you would compare him to her as far as how aggressive he would be, her positive qualities you mentioned earlier, if he has those same type of qualities.
Sure, that's a very good question, one that we are all pondering. I would say, in general, Elizabeth Warren, broadly speaking, has been very, very aggressive in word, and Richard Cordray, the nominee, has been very, very aggressive indeed. He is a guy who filed lawsuits against the biggest banks and one insurance company when he was Attorney General of the state of Ohio. According to the White House's calculations, he recovered about $2 billion for the state's pensioners and homeowners and investors. So he is certainly no shrinking violet when it comes to getting things done. I think the more interesting question will be whether he can assume that mantle of a kind of almost populist character who can communicate that he wants to do right by American families. Elizabeth Warren was pretty good at that. My strong suspicion is that this is a man who he was an elected official. He was a state representative. He was Ohio's treasurer. He was elected attorney general, and he very, very narrowly lost re-election in 2010, which was a very Republican year. So I suspect he's got some of those qualities, too.
All right. Thanks for your call, Sharon. Now, on the question of sort of how, you know, whether sort of bypassing Elizabeth Warren is going to satisfy Republicans, we have a clip from Republican Congressman Daryl Issa, who's the chair of the House Oversight Committee. He was talking on Fox News recently.
Our big problem is with the entity. You know, the Senate has a confirmation task that they may be looking at with Elizabeth Warren. What we are, we're the Oversight Committee and the Reform Committee. Our job is to make sure that government gets right what government does. This is a big, powerful organization created, quite frankly, with very loose guidelines. You know, you have over 2,000 pages in Dodd-Frank, and this is practically a footnote. We need to make sure we get it right because we don't want to have consumer products limit, by definition, right, products available to consumers.
That was Republican Congressman Daryl Issa, and I'm speaking with Carter Doherty of Bloomberg News about the appointment of the new head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Now, it certainly sounds like Republicans, you know, they sort of wanted Warren's head, but they're not that enthusiastic about the agency at all.
No, they're not. I actually just spoke to Congressman Issa last week about precisely this subject. I would take issue with the notion that it's a footnote because I've gone bleary-eyed reading Title 10 of Dodd-Frank, which runs into the hundreds of pages. Now, it's in the end, this is really a philosophical debate, and on one level, it is about believing in consumer protection, but simply debating exactly how you best accomplish this. A more skeptical soul, and you know journalists are paid to be skeptical, would say that this is simply a rehash of the debate that we had last year about whether you need a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau or not. Elizabeth Warren and her team in the Obama administration say yes, and a lot of Republicans make no bones about the fact that they never liked the place in the thing in the first place.
Now, do you think the administration mishandled this? I mean, could they have done something to make Warren a more viable nominee?
That's a little bit of Monday morning quarterbacking that...
come on, that's what we do. This is the Monday morning quarterback right now.
So. Well, if you take the Republicans at their word, and 44 Republican senators signed a letter in May saying that they would not vote to confirm anyone until the agency is restructured, then you can reasonably take away from that no one had a chance of being confirmed. There are a lot of cross currents here. There are a lot of people who might say, oh, you know, if Elizabeth Warren were, you know, had made the right overtures to banks or Republicans, that maybe this wouldn't have turned out this way. I tend to doubt that. I think we're in a philosophical debate. It was a big piece of legislation that passed last year, and it's going to take a while before, if consensus gels around it, that you want this agency around for a long time.
Let's take another call for Carter Doherty. This is Ike from Long Branch, New Jersey. Hi, Ike.
Hello, Ike.
Hi. Can you please tell me what the agency is going to cost, what the budget is, the cost to taxpayers?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that, please?
Yes. Can you please tell me what the budget is for the new agency? What is the cost of the taxpayers to form and this agency?
The interesting part about the Consumer Bureau is that it is not, strictly speaking, taxpayer money. The Consumer Bureau gets its money from the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve, in turn, gets its money from the return on the loans that it makes to the private sector as part of its operations to control the money supply. So in a very narrow sense, none of your actual tax dollars go to the Consumer Bureau. In the broader sense, I suppose, this money would go to the Treasury, so you should understand that. Its budget is capped at a percentage of the Federal Reserve's operating budget. That would max out at about $500 million, but it will be a number of years before it reaches that level, if it reaches that level, because it's staffing up and it doesn't need that much money.
Is there anything that could happen this week in talks about the debt ceiling and deficit reduction that could change the agency's budget or how it functions?
This is a good question, especially since a lot of these things happen in the dead of night. You never quite know what gets slipped into legislation. I certainly wouldn't rule it out. I would be paying attention to it, but I'm not aware of anything outside of some legislation that's on the floor of the House. But so far, it's gone nowhere in the Senate.
All right. Thank you very much to Carter Doherty of Bloomberg News, who has been discussing with us the passing of the baton, if you will, the unofficial baton from Elizabeth Warren to Richard Cordray, the former Ohio Attorney General. And we will be seeing this new agency opening its doors this week. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
When we come back, the Speaker of the New York City Council, Christine Quinn.